Now, scripture reading this morning will be found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. I would like to say something about those new directors. I'm trying to figure out who that old man is that's with Ruby. I've forgotten who. Did Angie take those pictures? I just couldn't recognize that man that was with Ruby. You know, and you look at yourself in the mirror every day, but for some reason you never perceive of yourself as being that old. It's like the one on your driver's license, you know. Recently they've made some improvements. The pictures do look better. But, Angie, are you sure that was me? She says she's sure, so I'll take care of it. I'd like for us to read this 15th chapter of Luke. Sometimes I think it's good for us to think about what value you place upon Scripture, what our brother has read this morning in that epistle that Paul wrote to the Galatians. Value-wise, some people, you know, place little or no value upon the Word of God. They even scoff at it and make snide remarks about what we say we believe and the value that we place upon it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, in this chapter, and this is not all that this chapter is about, but I believe that he was certainly trying to get a message across to some people that were very self-righteous. They had preconceived ideas about knowing God and how to serve God and what it was all about. And yet we discover that in looking at their lives that there were many things that they didn't place a proper value upon it. And our Lord, I believe, would help any of us correct our thinking about the value of what is said in the Word of God. So let's read this 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. And likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Called out one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Shall we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, it's with a sense of deep appreciation for such a privilege. We're thankful for the land we live in and for those that are in authority over us. We pray for them that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives. We have that one privilege that we value above all others. We can gather in the name and to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can open the Word of God, and we can read this Word, and we can preach from this Word. And we can fellowship in what we discover in these words that are upon the pages of Scripture, these things that are revealed to us concerning the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We would this day exalt Him above all others. May He have the preeminent place in our thinking this morning. And as we think about the values of life, may each one of us determine in our own hearts that we'll put value upon things that you value, Lord. We'll seek after those things that will edify and build us up in our most holy faith. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Well, this section that we've just read deals with three parables. Each one of them a little different, but each one, I believe, having a special message for you and for me. Certainly, it had a message for Pharisees and publicans and sinners. They needed to hear this message. It's amazing that sometimes two people can listen to the Word of God, and yet each one of them, in his own way, perhaps sees something out of that passage that the other one doesn't see. I've discovered that it depends upon the attitude of heart. It also depends upon the sovereign ministry of the Spirit of God. And we're reminded that in the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God introduced as one that convicts of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Not judgment to come, mind you, so often that is added. Judgment. That God of this world is judged. But the failure to perceive and understand the place that the Son of God occupies in the Scriptures is indeed to miss the message of the Word of God altogether. This is a Christ-centered book, the Bible, the Word of God. Our Christian faith and what we believe is based upon thus saith the Lord, and we value those things. But here we have a problem that our Lord knew all about. A group of people, perhaps you could characterize them as being self-righteous. They believed that they had a proper understanding of the will of God and how to carry out that will. They believed themselves to be special in the sight of God because he felt like they were serving God. Yet here is one that appears upon the scene, the Son of God, and he's not recognized as the Son of God. Oh, what a grievous error on their part. What a total misconception of what God had planned and purposed in sending his Son into the world. Here is the Son of God. Hear him and obey what he has for you. Well, our Lord knew full well that the people that he was giving this message for did have special meaning for them, because I believe again that he wants them to become value wise. First one being the parable of the lost sheep, then the lost coin, then the lost son. I have to say that it seems rather strange that someone that says they love the Lord, and yet they were very discriminating in who they loved and who they respected. People that were downcast, people that were diseased, people that they perceived to be out of God's will and not one of God's special ones, they had no time for them. What bothered them was that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made no distinction among those that he, as we are reminded here, he received as sinners and eateth with them. He did not isolate himself from people. Anybody, everybody that crossed his pathway, the Son of God would minister to that person and be a blessing to that person. Think of all of those that he touched their lives. Some of them touched him. Now think of that dear woman that touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. He was a blessing to all that indeed recognized him, trusted in him, had faith in him. I don't know what you think about maybe this first little parable we read about the sheep that was lost. Sheep characteristically are dumb animals. They're prone to wander. They get lost. Personally, I don't like mutton. I don't know about you. A friend of mine one time, we ordered, I believe they said it was shepherd's pie. He said, I can taste the wool. They are cute little things when they're lambs and so forth, but if I had 100 and one of those dumb sheep wandered off and it's a stormy night and he's out in a wilderness area, I think the tendency of my heart was, I got 99. That little fellow's going to have to look after himself. Maybe tomorrow I'll go. You see, that's because I don't place that much value upon one sheep. And there are a lot of things in life. I remember just recently a young fellow was selling something. I really didn't know what it was at first, but I was with someone else. And he said, how many of those do you want? I said, what are they? He said, they're skateboards. I said, I have no interest in skateboards. I place no value upon skateboards. And you know in the course of life there are things that you place special value upon. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing a picture for these people that were discriminating about who they helped and who they didn't help and who they associated with and who they ministered to and who they catered to. And he's bringing before them a very special message. God is interested in every one of us if we look upon ourselves as being sheep. The good shepherd is interested. If you read and study and look at the subject of shepherds and sheep, shepherds are dedicated people and they really look after their sheep. In the Word of God, we're told that he knows each one by name. And they know him. But in this case, if you project yourself into this picture, I don't think for a moment that these scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, these religious people that had religion, but they were out of the will of God. They were not recognizing the Lamb of God that came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. John the Baptist had so clearly identified him, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." How much value did they place upon one soul? If you are very discriminating and you look upon one person as having superior value above another, and I'm not saying that doesn't exist in every one of our hearts, because we are limited sometimes in what we know about that person or what that person means to us and how we're identified with that person, but as a whole, if you think about it, God so loved the world. I mean, there's no discrimination with God when it comes to loving and seeking to save a soul. One lost sheep, God is after him. God goes after him. In this case, our Lord covers this subject of the lost sheep, and he ends it up by saying, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner." How much do you value salvation for every soul that lives in the world today? One sinner. If you say, "Everybody's going to be saved but one," would that bother you? You say, "Well, most of them are going to be saved, but there's going to be one that's going to be lost." Our Lord Jesus Christ expressed concern over each individual. And when one individual comes to faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Lamb of God that can take away the sin of the world, the one that loved us and died for us upon the cross, when we begin to focus upon that and realize how important it is to not pass up one. Yes, one sheep is very important. And our Lord says, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. How do you think heaven reacts to a person getting saved today? And many people will hear the gospel today. They'll hear that message. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes it. And they'll be saved. Do you think they burst out into singing in heaven? How is it expressed in heaven? There's joy in heaven. How much do we rejoice when we hear someone got saved this morning? A boy or girl, maybe in a Sunday school class, maybe in a five-day club. We've been focusing upon all those that are going to be going to summer camp. We're thinking about all of those that are involved in reaching boys and girls. Lost sheep. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need the Savior. Are you willing to devote yourself to praying for them every day? A boy or girl. Before sin ever gets a hold upon that life. feel like young people are far more vulnerable, perhaps, than older people. A lady told me just recently, her brother, 32 years old, he's dying with AIDS. And she said, you know, when he started first to taste drugs and some of the other things that were bad for him, he had no idea it would end up this way. Sometimes, you know, the Satan, that god of this world, he blinds the minds of those who will not believe that glorious gospel of Christ. They don't believe it. And they pay the price for not believing it. I can rejoice to tell you this. Her brother got saved before he died. He died a few weeks after she said that he was brought back to them. But one person in the sight of God, you can say every person is important to God. Every person is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he uses another parable, and he talks about a woman, and she had 10 coins. It was an adornment. One was lost. Now, this is not a sheep. This is just a coin. It's dead. It has no life in it. Where it falls, that's where it stays. And yet she took a candle, a light, and she sought diligently to find that one coin. She didn't say, well, I still got 9, so I'll forget about that other one. No, that coin had special meaning to her. She placed special value upon that one coin. You see, to bring in focus, how do we value each soul in the world today? Each person, regardless of where they are, what the circumstance, what their nationality is, all of those things, let them fade into insignificance and say, here's a soul, here's someone, a human being created by God. They have a soul. You know, Scripture says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'll tell you what, people in the world today that are fascinated with all the things of this world, I'm telling you what, they're selling their souls for peanuts. There's no question about it, sin is pleasurable. But you know, the thrill of sinning is just for a moment. And you could call that a lifetime, and then it's gone. What about eternity? Eternity. Banished from the presence of God forever and forever. You only know God in judgment. You've passed up the grace of God that would provide salvation for your soul. You might think this woman was foolish. Go to all that trouble and search and search and look all over after one little old coin, its value, very little. Our Lord is seeking to bring into focus for those that were so discriminating and valued certain people over other people and all these things. All are important to God. He doesn't discriminate. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. As it's so often pointed out to us, the ground around the cross, it's level ground. We all stand on the same level. We all need a Savior. Then he takes us to that son. Oh, he's an interesting figure. Foolish young man. I think some of the things that you read in Scripture sometimes, why would a father let a foolish young man have his way and do all the foolish things that he did? He could have prevented that by not giving him his part of that inheritance. But our Lord gives this parable, and he brings into focus something that is entirely different from sheep and coins. Here is a living soul. A person created by God to glorify God. And he's not setting his course to glorify God. He's setting his course to experience the pleasures of sin that will last for a season. and away he goes. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. This may startle you when I say it. He went into the far country, wasted all of his substance, the inheritance that he had, falls into a situation that he doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? Somebody hires you and sends you out to feed pigs. Makes no provision for you and what you're going to eat. Says that it got so bad that he even entertained the thought of eating what he'd been given to give to the pigs. Then that's getting desperate. You don't even like the smell of what you experience when you get around that old hog pen. This is the thing that just comes to the surface. The father did not go to get the son. He did not say, let's get together a search party and go find where my son is. I'm going to bring him back home. Does that surprise you that he didn't do that? He had the means. He had everything that was needed to do that if he wanted to. I'm going to go get my son in the far country and bring him back home. No, there was one thing that had to happen for him to ever want that son to come back. Oh, he wanted the son to come back. He loved him with a passion. He'd been praying, no doubt, and watching and praying every day that boy would come back down that road and come home. But he wasn't going to go get him. He wasn't going to go get him. You see, brother and sister in Christ, the next move was up to the boy. And that's true of every one of us in this room this morning. You know, God's not going to do anything else to save your soul. He's done it all. The Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. And all to him we owe. Sin had left that crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God wants every man, boy, girl in the world today to be saved. Not his will that any should perish. He's not going to do anything else to save your soul. The Spirit of God, the Holy Comforter, has come into the world again, as I remind you again, to convict men of sin and righteousness and judgment. And unless he does that, there might be a lot of false professions. There might be a lot of people that think maybe because of their good works and so many other things. But by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. What I want you to focus upon is this. Have you moved toward God? All that's been done, the Word of God, these parables that our Lord gave. Oh, how gracious and loving God has been to every one of us, saved and unsaved alike. He holds our very being in His hands. He can stop it any time He wants to and be justified in doing it. But the next move is up to you and me. Have you made that move? It says that the boy came to his senses. You read that statement. It says that when he said, spent all the arose the mighty famine and so forth and so forth and so on, and says in verse 70, when he came to himself, the lights came on. Thank God for the day the lights came on. Man, oh man. He began to make a judgment call upon the value of how life was without the Father, and he made a judgment call, and he says, I want to go home. I want to go back home. I may not be accepted back home, but I want to go home. There are things there that I remember, and there are things there that I'd like to experience again. Well, I've never been to heaven. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. He heard things, but he didn't tell us about seeing anything, but he said he heard things. None of us in this room's ever been to heaven. Even those people that sometimes tell us about life after death experience. which I don't hear too much about that anymore, but if I begin to think about eternity, you do believe we're all going to die, don't you? It's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. Physically, one day we're going to leave this world. What will it be like for us? During the course of this life, we have an opportunity to put some value upon what God has done for us in that He sent His only begotten Son into the world. A sinless person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He that knew no sin, had no sin of His own, and He was willing to hang upon a cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And in those awful, awful, awful hours that He hung upon that cross, the wrath and the judgment of God in those dark hours, your sin, my sin, Jesus paid it all. Oh, He satisfied God's justice and righteousness perfectly. God was satisfied with what He did upon the cross to settle the sin question. God values it so much He won't let anybody into His heaven that hasn't trusted to value it. So my question to you and to me this morning, have I trusted in the value of what Christ did upon the cross for my sin? He paid the price for my sin. He satisfied God regarding my sin. Have I accepted that value? Have I trusted Him? Have I received the gift of eternal life? It's a gift from God. It's there for me. How highly do I value it? Do I say, well, sometime I might do it? So many people have done that. So many say, sometime I will do it. I'll change my mind, maybe. Maybe I won't. Better be sure. Because I can tell you this, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A son came home because he came to his senses. He recognized what was in the Father's house. We recognize what God has prepared for them that trust His Son. We're even told in Scripture that in a moment of time He may reappear. He may come again and receive us unto Himself. That may take place today. Be no more opportunity. One day, think about it like this. If you stand before the judgment bar of God to be judged, and you're asked the question, how much value did you place upon what my Son did upon the cross? None. I didn't have any time for Him. That's a sad, sad thought, isn't it? Don't let it happen to you. Put a proper value upon what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done. There's no other name given among men here upon the face of the earth whereby we might be saved. It has to be the Lord Jesus. Our Father in heaven, as we think about what we've read and for the value that we now, each in our own hearts, place upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming here to seek and to save which was lost. May every person in this room ask himself or herself the question, what have I done with the Lord Jesus this morning? And oh, blessed Lord, there's someone present in this room that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may they at this very moment say, yes, Lord Jesus, as a poor sinner, come into my heart and save my soul. It's in our Savior's name we ask this. Amen. My brother has a verse on my hand.